I love the game, and I was anxious. I wanted to get out with the boys. I saw them having fun the last 4 or 5 days in practice and at camp. So obviously I wanted to be a part of that, but that's the way it goes. And I thought today, just being back on the ice with the guys, I was excited. The moment I stepped on the ice, I was just happy to be back out there. I love playing hockey, and we got a great group, so it always makes it fun to be out there. I had a great time on the ice today.
What's going on? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Islescast, your source for everything Islanders, and the only Isles podcast to cry Devontae's river before building a Matt Barzal bridge deal to get over it. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined by a man whose mouth is only bigger than his quads. A man who is a Chris Kreider-looking, back-check-hooking stud. Kenny Yavero. What's up, Ken?
Wow. I thought you said you were nervous, but that was the best intro you've ever done, dude, coming out of the gate hot.
I mean, I think it made sense. I'm trying to say that you have a big mouth. I don't know if that actually made sense.
No, that
but
means
you got it, right? I mean, that's,
100%.
Yeah.
No, you know.
And so you guys might be wondering where Ben is. And, well, we're going to play a little game. So here's the deal with Ben. Kenny and I have hid Ben in an undisclosed location in a bunker somewhere in North America. Now, don't worry. He's got enough food, water, and oxygen to last him through the hockey season. And throughout the year, what we're going to be doing is leaving little cryptic clues in our podcast that maybe you guys can crowdsource and come up with exactly where he is and free Ben. So have at it. I mean, we'll see what happens. If you don't find him, I mean, maybe he'll be back next week. I'm not sure. But that's the deal with Ben. So, our thoughts are with you, Ben, wherever you may be. And we hope that all that canned spam has been put to good use. Anyway, Barzy's back, and so are we, baby.
Wow, that was close. I would have been literally, like, so nervous leading up to that if Garth Snow was at the helm, even though I love a lot of the things he did. But with Lou, I was like, it's going to get done. I wasn't really worried.
Yeah, so mark it. 2 minutes and 17 seconds of us recording, even shorter since we've edited, that you brought up Garth Snow. So well done. I think that's a new record.
I'm just saying, like, honestly, if this was – it would have been – you know what I'm saying when I say that.
I know what you're saying.
Right? I mean, you would have been like, this guy. Get
him. I was never worried.
Me too.
I mean, he's an RFA. There was no talk at all of any kind of offer sheets. All that we, there's a lot of moving parts in this season, especially with, a shrinking salary cap, not knowing when the season was going to begin. It was just a weird offseason. So it wasn't like the summer of offer sheets where, everybody was talking about Marner and all these other guys that were going to get offer sheets. This was a totally different situation. I don't know if it's because everybody's just petrified of Lou Lamoriello and that they're going to end up in the Hudson with cement shoes or what, but he never had me worried. I mean, I just figured it was a matter of moving some things around logistically. So I guess
I got
you can kind of
worried when Spit and Chicklets mentioned it.
Oh,
like,
dude.
When Biz was like, oh, hold out, I'm like, all right, I don't need that. That's the last thing you want is like an angry mob online. I don't know. And I'm just like, I hated that post. I know he's just looking for clicks. I'm sure he's just trying to start shit.
Of course he is, man. They're in entertainment now. I love Biz and Whitney from a podcast standpoint. I mean, hell, I own a Spit and Chicklets shirt. But really, when it comes down to it, those guys are not fans of the Islanders at all. Whitney can't stand them. I mean, he's got to be a Crosby shill. Whitney loves stirring things up. Biz a little less so. He just kind of can't help himself. But no joke, there was a picture of Barzal hugging Lee and Eberle, and they were all just like hanging out on the bench, and it was like the boys are back. And I not that he really cares at all. I'm a bug on a windshield as far as Biz is concerned, but I tweeted that at him and I said, yep, definitely not having fun. So, whatever. It is what it is, man. Stop me if you've heard this one before. No one cares about the New York Islanders. No respect. I think we were like ranked like 12th on some power list. Some people had the Rangers with a higher percentage to make the playoffs than us. I mean, no big deal.
Vegas, has the Rangers as a favorite over the Islanders.
That's because you got to remember how Vegas works, man. They want all these, the garden faithful to throw money down on the Rangers. Because they're like, we got Lafreniere. We got Kako, second year. He's going to have a big year. We got the two Russians. Islanders got one Russian. We got two Russians, Shesterkin and what's his name? Georgiev, whatever. Yeah, he's good, man. He's good. We're going to be just fine. We got the bread man.
It's January, so it's preseason, but it's not, man. Like, I'm ready to go. This is like pent up Isles frustration for me. We haven't recorded in so long. Everybody had their hearts broken when we got out of the Eastern Conference Finals, and then COVID and pandemic and all this other BS going on. So it's good to be back, and I got a lot in me here, you know, as you can tell. So
yeah, let it go. And we got two games in a row.
I know.
That's gonna be like I just can't wait.
So let's start. Well, let me ask you, Kenny. Where do you want to start first? Do you want to start with the divisions and all that, or do you want to get into kind of some of the changes that the Isles have had? Not many, but some changes that they've had since we last recorded. Since Brock Nelson missed the shorthanded chance, the breakaway chance to force a game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals to now.
Let's go with Islanders changes, and then we'll figure out the division in the schedule maybe.
So obviously what I led with was a heartbreaker for me, but a reality of the cap era and a cold reminder why a dynasty will never exist in the NHL again. Isles are in cap hell. And they were forced to move Devon Taves to the Colorado Avalanche. A dagger in my heart.
I figured we maybe move some other guys around to maybe try and keep him. It makes sense to me because we have Dobson coming in and we are up against the cap. So I don't think it's going to be as big of a loss in the long run. It definitely hurts. I'd rather have Taves than Letty, you know, for half the price but we also have a lot of guys that are on good deals. Like Mayfield is extremely underrated, gets paid no money. Dobson, assuming he could take on a bigger role, he's getting paid no money for the next couple of years. Pellick's on a great deal
for now.
Pellick's next year with Bovey
for now. Yeah, but we have money coming off the cap next year as well. So
We do. I think the guys that Islander fans want to trade, us included, the Lettys of the world, the Lads of the world, the Komarovs of the world, the Hickeys of the world, there's just no takers. Every team is in cap trouble. The economic situation of the NHL is such that bad contracts are made even worse right now because what was expected with the salary cap increase ended up being a flat cap, and that's going to have ramifications for the next several years. It's why you're going to see corporate nonsense stickers on helmets. Don't even get me started on that. I know it's necessary. I know this is the price we're going to pay to have hockey this year, but it kills me to see that crap on these helmets. But anyway, I digress. Devon Taves has to go. And let's stay with the D Corps because, surprising to some, but not many, because there were some rumors for a while that the Isles were going to get some cap relief from a very unexpected place. And I didn't know what people were talking about, but it seems that some folks had an in on Johnny Boychuk retiring. Poor old man Johnny. What a warrior. You know, the guy had an incredible career with the Bruins and with us. I'm going to miss his leadership. I'm going to miss his locker room presence for the team. But I think getting the salary off the books for Johnny Boychuk is going to, I think, do more long-term help than harm
for the Isles, but it still hurts to see him have to retire.
Yeah, it's definitely going to hurt on all those aspects that you said. I think, and I, to be honest with you, I don't think you could say he had a bad season ever as an Islander. Like, even towards the end, he still was giving you enough on the ice that it wasn't, you weren't like, oh my God, like, this guy's terrible. He was just getting slightly overpaid, where a guy like Letty, you know, it's just, you can't say the same.
Mm-hmm. Well,
what are you going to do? I mean, listen, he's not giving you $6 million worth of effort on the rink, and he's, you know, he's a liability at this point with his injury. So
I don't know if he's a liability per se. I think
his eye injury, he obviously.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, he can't play. He would have been
Mark Stahl.
Yeah.
Like,
he would have been a good seventh D man. That Green, could mentor exactly. guys like, well, that's it, Andy Green. So we'll get to him in a second, but you know, I feel for Johnny, and you know, Johnny and Letty. I know we trash on Letty all the time, but I would say that Johnny Boychuk and Nick Letty were the first phase in the Islanders starting to turn a corner as a franchise. And I know obviously they weren't the big pieces. The big pieces were the sale of the team, and then of course Lou and Barry and UBS Arena and all that stuff. But if you look at it, I think that was the first time that the Islanders had some big name free agents, not huge guys, but big name free agents that not only came here, but stayed here, wanted to stay. And that was a big step for us. So it's sad to see Johnny have to retire. I hope that they can find some kind of job for him with the team. I know he was skating with Handsome Tom Kunackle, and I think he was skating with Barzy, and there was one other guy that I can't remember who it was. That was Seidenberg, maybe, I think. They were all kind of skating together. So he's still kind of hanging around the team. So I think, I don't know, Johnny, I could see Johnny doing some kind of player development for the Isles, you know, being around. We like to keep our, we like to stay loyal. That's one thing with the Blue and Orange that I think has been consistent through the Wong sale, is that we like to stay loyal to our guys. So I'd like to see Johnny hang in there and, you know, stick with the team in some capacity. But yeah, so Boychuk and Taves are off the decor this year for us, which means it's for Noah Dobson to step up. I'm really excited to see him with you say full season, but it's not really a full season. as full as you could get this season with the team, you know, playing top 6 minutes and you know, just being a regular. I think it's time for him, and I think he's gonna let the Taves sting be a little less painful when all is said and done. So I'm looking forward to that. We brought back Andy Green on a $700,000 salary with $2 million in bonuses. So I thought that was a good move. I think if you can't have Johnny Boychuk, you need another leader. And I thought Andy Green fit in so well with the team last year and was so important for our playoff run that I'm really excited for him to be back. As far as forwards go, you've got Derek Brassard, who's no longer with us. He signed with, I believe, Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. So Brassard's out. And, you know, of course, the big signing was getting Matt Barzal back, which we all knew was going to happen. But, you know, that, I mean, we didn't get the big winger that we wanted. You know, there, you couldn't get Hall. You couldn't get Hoffman. I mean, again, the cap really comes back to bite us. And I think in the end, the nice thing about it is we'll have a little bit of room to play with come the end of the season, and trade deadline this year might be a little crazier than normal. So maybe we pick up a piece right at the end and make a push for the playoffs and finish the job we started last year.
Yeah, we got to figure out a way to get out from under Andrew Ladd, I think, next. You know, just the amount of money he's got and the amount of years, it's like...
You tell me who's going to take him. I mean, you tell me who's got cap.
No, no one's
going to
take him.
You know?
I'm just, I don't think it's going to be. Can you buy him out?
I don't think it gives you the kind of relief that you need. So I think you just send him to the AHL and you wait for him to retire. You know, you've got him that he was on waivers. Hosang, we're not even gonna. Hosang didn't even get invited to camp. He got was waived again for a second time. Nobody took him. It's done, guys.
I don't want to talk about that kid anymore.
No,
I don't,
it's over. So let's talk about Leo. Leo gets put on waivers today also, which could be just a move. I know there's a lot of honestly, this is the first time I think ever in my like adult life of rooting and following the Islanders that I honestly have no clue what the heck is going on with cap and that like they've got to waive certain veterans. But then have them on the roster to maximize their long-term injured reserve. Like even Arthur Staple didn't know exactly. I saw a bunch of people correcting him on Twitter about the salary cap implications. So a lot of what you're seeing right now, as far as player movement waivers, it's all just gamesmanship to maximize our cap space when we throw Boychuk on long-term IR. So that's all that is. And then of course, Matt Martin re-signs 4 years, $1.5 million per year. What did you think of that signing?
I think it's a good deal. Especially with Boychuk and his locker room presence and all that, I feel like if you were to lose Matt Martin and Boychuk all in one season, it's like, oh, that's your best two leaders on the back end and on forward. So that cap hit is nothing, that you're basically playing for free. And you're going to get another 2 or 3 years out of the guy. I mean, I think he played well last year. And under this structured system, if we can keep Cizikas healthy and give him another winger, Clutterbuck, who knows how healthy he's going to stay. But you still got to keep that fourth line together. They're so good when they're all out there together.
Do you think, and you know how I kind of feel about the fourth line, but do you think that this is kind of the swan song for them? I mean, I know you keep Marty for 4 years. He's cheap enough where that's okay. You can use him for leadership, and you can kind of switch him out with Ross the Boss when you need some knuckles chucked. But, I mean, do you think that – because here's what I worry about. Casey, again, was shooken up before the season even started with a collision in practice. Clutterbuck had some numbness in his hands still. I mean, these are not big guys that play like big guys. And I'm just worried that it's going to be very rare to have all three of them together with all the injuries. And when that starts happening and you kind of build your bottom six around the success of that line, I don't know. Like, we all know that individually they're just not that great. They all work when they're together. And I don't know if you're going to have a fourth line that's really going to be together all that much this season.
Yeah, I think the key is Cizikas. If he can be healthy and consistent, the other guys are just dragging him down. So I think you could replace those two guys if need be, and the line would still roll. Because I feel like Casey's the X factor out of those three. He's the guy that basically makes the wingers better. He's a UFA next year, so maybe you're thinking, okay, let's bring Matt Martin for another 4 years, maybe give him an extra year or two to convince Casey to stay. You know, he loves these guys. He's best friends with Matt Martin. It's pretty well documented. I don't know if that has any, you know, real like weight involved in a contract negotiation between the two, but I don't think it hurts. So that could be another benefit to keeping Matt Martin that extra year, maybe, that it's going to be a disaster. You know what you're getting. You know, the guy wants to be here. He will do anything for the team. I think that's
it's the mayor of Long Island, man. He's the mayor. I call him the mayor of Long Island. If they didn't re-sign Matt Martin, you know he was going across the street. He was gonna be a blue shirt. You know that.
Yeah, and he'd probably be getting 2.5. So I'm happy with it. You keep complaining about Matt Martin and you're a new Islander fan. Like, that's like first world problems. Like, what? Shut up. Like, no.
Yeah. We got
other issues, dude. You know, we're good.
This is a real, this is going to be a real interesting season for the fourth line because, you know, speaking of Casey, I don't think he had a great season last year. And if it continues again this year, I don't know if I think he's expendable.
He's a UFA, so you know you're going to get the best effort ever out of him. And that you could say that it doesn't matter. These guys aren't robots. They know when it's a UFA year and they always play harder. So, you know, and it's only a 56 game season. It's kind of like tailored for him having a big year. He's one of my guys who I think might have like, it's hard to say goal totals, but I might say he might have 50. He could have 15 goals in 56 games. It's possible.
It could. I feel like just even in the playoffs, like of all the centermen that we had in the playoffs, he was just the quietest.
Yeah, I think he was banged up. I think it was pretty evident that he's banged up. A whole season with Pageau on the third line and his defensive, like takes some weight off Casey, and we haven't really felt the benefit of Pageau. That was last year, the end of the year. We haven't had him for a whole year, and so it's going to change everything, and that might help some of the scoring out that we might need, especially when I'm sure we'll get to it, but, you know, which kid is going to make the roster? Is it going to be Wallstrom or Bellows? Whoever plays better with Pageau is going to make it. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So Arthur Staple tweeted this out today. He said, I was in the main group today. Lee, Barzell, Eberle, Beauvillier, Nelson, Bailey, Martin, Cizikas, Clutterbuck, Pageau, Bellows, Dalcol, Komarov, Charnick, and Johnston. Defensemen were Pellick, Pulak, Letty, Mayfield, Green, Dobson, Hickey, and Sam Bolduc. And then the goalies were Varley and Sorokin. So a couple of things I want to pull out of that. The first one being Kiefer Bellows. Barry Trotz said today that the kid has had a great camp and that he has earned his spot on the roster. So that's awesome because these guys are going to more than likely play on the third line with Pageau. And we almost
wrote him off last year. Like we were ready to be like, dude, you're done. And now he's like getting praise from Barry Trotz, which is pretty sick. Because last year, I was pretty down on Bellows.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it comes back to the fact that we just don't know if Brett Thompson is actually if he's good with development or not. We don't know.
Is he in the Mafia? I think he's in the Mafia and has something on the Islanders. It just doesn't. I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah. No,
is it possible? We should dive deeper into that conspiracy. Islander conspiracy podcast, and we just do it on Brent Thompson. We just research the Wikipedia.
We could figure it out. We could do that. Capuano's probably got some ties too, so maybe, you know, you.
I mean, have you been to Bridgeport?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a little scary.
I'm not gonna say anything else.
It's a little scary.
It's not the best. It's not.
Well,
the best.
Okay. So speaking of scary, third line. Let's talk about the third line. We love talking about. We should call this podcast the Third Line Podcast because realistically, that's all we seem to talk about. But what I would love is Pageau centering Bellows and Wallstrom. What I think we're going to get, and I'm okay with it, is Pageau centering Bellows and Michael Dalcol. And I'm okay with that because you know what?
This are you? Because you time. Love Dalcol. Just say it. you love this kid, dude.
I really don't.
Hold on. I literally just said that I would love if he was not on the third line. That didn't happen. Listen. Can we just say this has to be his last year, right? I'm done. This is it, dude. This is it. He's like 42 years old, still hanging around. Like, what? Who is this kid? He sucks. And if he's on our third line, I'm worried. This is it for him, okay? I'm giving him 2 months, and then I don't want to hear this kid's name anymore. I don't know how he sticks around.
Well, because what's your alternative? So without him, then your third line is Komarov with Pageau and Bellows, and you really want that?
Okay. No, I don't want that, but how about
– give me another option.
Yeah,
I mean, you got Timoshov, right. Who we traded for. That's what we haven't even signed him yet. We haven't even signed Timoshov yet.
He's in camp, right? I mean, this is an Islander podcast. I should know that, but is he in camp?
I mean,
he's sitting in the stand.
I haven't seen him in the groups, so I have no idea what's going on, honestly.
Ross Johnson, that's what I mean. Like, I'd rather have Ross Johnson full time. I'm dead serious.
I would be okay with that.
Dalcol brings nothing to the table. Like, he literally.
Listen.
He would have just scored one big goal in the playoffs and done anything.
This is the best group he's probably ever skated with. as far as a line is concerned. So let's just see what happens.
And you think it's going to be Bellows and Dalkov? Yeah.
For now.
They played together before, right? They
yeah, had like some and I think, yes. And I think, so in the scrimmage, they had Dalkov up. I'm sorry. They had Wahlstrom and Bellows with Pageau. So they tried it. And Trotz had some good things to say about it. So I think,
I can't see the Islanders Thursday, playing two rookies on a third line. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
With Pageau, it's okay. Because he's that responsible. Like, he's going to teach them what to do and where to be. I think we're not really going to know until the start of the season, until Thursday. Because you've got Timoshov that's not signed. And I think Timoshov is more of a depth signing anyway. You know,
I don't know anything about him. I know he's got
crazy. Well, Lou likes him.
Does he?
He's a 24 left winger. I mean, you know, he's... He bounced around in Toronto, you know, and so Lou knows him from the system. So, I mean, listen, we've got other guys. Here's the thing, though. When you're overpaying the Leo Komarovs and the Andrew Ladds of the world here, you need to go cheap with some line. So you've got to have basically Pageau who's making $5 million with two $700,000 wingers next to him. And that's Dal Cole and that's Bellows. So,
and that might be his best option of like having a successful year is playing with those two guys. Because honestly, he's not going to happen with Dal Cole. It'll be a career low for Pageau. Whatever it'll be 5 points less than what he's used to playing with. The guy, he just, no. Wahlstrom at least has high-end skill and can do some stuff. And Bellows has a shot. And can score, and he hits too, dude.
He's
a bully. He's a bit of
an energy. Yeah, that's
and so does Wahlstrom. Wahlstrom is not afraid of contact either. So like, agreed. Honestly, dude, you're right. That is the best thing, but we have never seen that as Islander fans. Like, we do this every single year, and like whatever the two prospects are, whether it's one on defense or one on offense, it never happens when they both start. This has to be the year because of the cap that we do that. Because Pittsburgh does it every single year. It's two random bums that are playing that get 50 points. Like, why not us one time?
Random bums are not random.
No,
bums.
I know.
They are kind of where Bellows is right now, like overseasoned prospects that we're not throwing in, you know, when they're 18 years old, like Josh Bailey and shell shock the kid for like 5 years, you know, like this is actually their seasoned prospects and we can do that. I think at some point you're going to see Wahlstrom up. If it's either going to mean that Dal Cole's not doing well or there's an injury or whatever, but I think at some point you're going to see Wahlstrom up.
You think Speaking Bellows is ahead of him?
Yes. Yeah. Wahlstrom skated with the AHL group while Bellows skated with the NHL group, and Trotz literally said he's on the opening night roster. So I would say that he's earned a spot. I think he's in the third line, and it's about time. You know, I mean, let's see what I never thought the kid looked bad. I thought when he was up, he looked good. I thought every training camp I've seen him, he looked good. And I do, before we get off the roster talk, I want to talk about one other guy that last year totally caught me by surprise. And it seems like there's no surprise this year. Did you pick up on the one other name that I read that you were kind of like, what? Really?
No, because I have him like pulled up here and all his stats. So
Who is it? Yeah. Who is it?
Bull Duke.
Oh yeah, Sam Bolduc, man. Yeah, I watched that kid in the preseason, and I was like, "This kid's got a rocket." He has jumped Bodie Wild in the depth chart right now. He's big. He's got a crazy shot, and he has quickly become, behind Noah Dobson, probably our second best defensive prospect. He is playing in the first group ahead of Aho. He's playing in the first group ahead of Wild. Like. That's impressive, and he is young. He is young. When did we drafted him? What, 2 years ago?
2 years ago, second round.
Yeah, man.
57th overall. The guy's 6'4", 215. 20
years old. Yeah.
Just turned 20 years old, like literally a month ago. That's brand new 20.
We've got some talented young defensemen that are I am very excited for Bolduc. And you can see Bolduc, you know, he's gonna come in and I think he's going to when you know the Thomas Hickeys come clear off and the Nick Leddys clear off, I think you're gonna see, you know, Noah Dobson, Sam Bolduc, Bode Wild with Pelech, Pollock, and Mayfield. And I think that's your D for the next 5 to 6 years.
I agree. Do you think Aho gets any time this year?
Let me ask you a question. And I probably know the answer to this, but let's say one of the defensemen goes down or two of them go down. Who do you want in the lineup more? Thomas Hickey or Sebastian Aho?
Sebastian Aho. 100%.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, Thomas Hickey is just the game passed him. His it started to happen like his second to last season, and then his last season it was like, "Oh, you're small and you should be agile like all these other guys, but you're not. You can't make a pass. The only thing you bring to the table is like a big hit every once in a while, and everything else is a straight up train wreck."
I think he's just a very smart hockey player. I think you're doing him
cool. We're not taking, you know, bring your number two pencil. We're taking a test. I need you to skate. I need you to do stuff. You could be smart all you want.
He's got a headsy game. He plays intelligently, man. So does Josh Bailey. I mean, you know, these guys, what they lack in flash, they make
Sebastian
up for.
Aho is a better hockey player. For what they are, small puck moving guys, like Aho can at least skate himself out of some trouble. Like Hickey turns into like a bumper. Like the puck gets to him and he just like throws it up the boards and hopes for the best and gets murdered. Like it's like, no, we can't have that.
He gets killed out there a little bit. How old do you think Thomas Hickey is? I'm looking at his age right now and I'm kind of surprised actually.
I'm guessing I can guess how old he is. I bet you he's 31.
Yeah, he's 31.
Boom, there you go.
You're definitely on cap friendly. You're such a liar.
No, I'm not. Hold on. I swear to God, I swear to you. Can I take a picture with my phone?
No, I don't care. I don't want to see it. I don't know.
Bode Wild. I got Bode Wild, Bull Duke. I got cap friendly up. I don't have any information on Sebastian Aho.
Okay. All right.
I'm trying to find out where we drafted him. We traded for him, right?
Who? Aho?
Aho, Sebastian Aho.
I think we drafted him.
Oh.
I think he's been in the system for a while. So anyway, and then on goaltending to round out the roster, we've got Semyon Varlamov and we got this other kid. How do you say his name? Ilya Sorokin. He's here. Obviously, he's an RFA after this season. He's making $2 million. Varley's going to get the start in game one against the Rangers. Sorokin better be in the pipes for game two. He better be. I want to see this kid playing at least 30 to 40% of games in the first month because I want to see what we've got with him. We can't mess around here. We've got to see what we have in him, and we got to give him some time to adjust. I don't think he's going to light the world on fire right away, but man, his upside just gets me so excited. And we finally have him. Like, this is our roster, man. We got, you know, we're starting to really see it come together now. So the only change I'd really make, honestly, move Wahlstrom in. We need a little bit more scoring pop, and I think we're good. I don't care that we lost Brassard. And I think, you know, while I would have loved to have had a Mike Hoffman in there or a Taylor Hall or a, you know, Anthony Duclair or whatever, I'm okay with what we got, man. We were a breakaway from game 7 against the Stanley Cup champions in the Eastern Conference Finals. So let's go. Any final thoughts about the roster before we move on?
Yeah, I just couldn't be more excited to see this guy Sorokin, man. I have been, not just me, you and many other Islander fans, have been waiting so long for this, man. It's going to be so cool to finally see him in an Islander jersey. I just can't even imagine him being a bust. Cause like, what if this isn't a decent prospect in net, you know, like a slightly above average goaltender. Finally, like when was the last time the Islanders had a legitimate good goaltender, like above top 10. Yeah. And he became a joke in like 3 years.
Wow. Yeah. Because his hips blew out. And his knees blew.
I know. But before that, it's like Glenn Healy.
Osgood.
Not even Osgood for like a season or two. But he's, even him wasn't even like, this is a guy who's entering, not even entering his prime as a goaltender. I mean, 24, 25, I guess that's like the beginning.
He's just starting. Just
the beginning of his prime. The guy has seen more rubber than anyone else in his life. And that joke of a KHL, it's just like a, it's like a roller hockey league. And they're just trading chances back and forth. So the guy is seasoned, put up numbers every single year. Not
just, he's been with the team since the playoffs last year. Like, he's been with these guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
which was such a such an understated move by Lamoriello to basically waste a bubble spot to bring in a guy who's not eligible to play because he's playing the long game. And I love that. And now we're here. We're, you know, the week of you know, the start of the season. And he's been with the team and he's been hanging out on the island. He's chilling at Jones Beach. He's talking about how Manhattan stresses him out and he likes the beach because it's quieter. I'm ready for this guy.
Yeah, I mean, dude, imagine the Islanders having elite goaltending with what we already have, the system we have. I mean, listen, if the Islanders' defense can play the way they play, it's not going to be very difficult for this kid to get wins. It ain't like Varlamov and Greiss were, like, standing on our heads for us to be getting wins all year. It should be, like, a pretty seamless – you know, there might be some ups and downs, but I'll be shocked if 2 or 3 months into the season this kid doesn't have – better numbers than Varlamov. I'm sorry. If he's even close to what he's supposed to be, then we got one here. And to have a goalie have the ability to straight up steal a game for you, that's something the Islanders have never had. The Islanders win games, if you're going to say anything, despite their goaltending. It's never because of their goaltending.
I think 2 years ago it was because of their goaltending. I think last year it was because of the system. That fair? Yeah. Is that fair? Yeah.
I would say, and it's just going to be more of that same because Trotz has his stranglehold in the system and players at this point, and I feel like it's going to be a really easy – it's going to be a better situation for Sorokin coming in and putting up numbers than him going to, like, you know, a team that's in, like, shambles, like Ottawa.
What are you going to do? No, I agree. So let's talk a little bit about matchups here, and obviously this is going to be another weird season. Buckle up. We've got four divisions. They're all realigned because of travel and because Canadian teams can't come to the United States. So we've got a little bit of shuffling and there's no games to be played outside of the division. It's only division games. We've got 56 games against the same other seven teams. So it's going to be interesting. In the East, you've got Boston, Buffalo, Jersey, us, the Rangers, the Flyers, the Penguins, and the Caps. Central's got Carolina, Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Detroit, Florida, Nashville, and Tampa. That's going to be a real interesting division. Very different. Then you've got the West, so you've got all the left coast teams. So Anaheim, Arizona, you got Colorado in there, Los Angeles, the Wild, San Jose, St. Louis, and Vegas. I think the two teams that really got screwed the most in that were Minnesota and St. Louis, because they got to travel out west a lot, and that kind of sucks. And then in the north, you've got all the Canadian teams. So that's the only – as far as the hockey world is going to be concerned, these are the only teams that will matter for the entire season. So you don't have to worry about winning any – you know, forget the Art Ross, forget the Hart, forget the Vezina. Everybody is going to just – you know, all the Hockey Writer Association guys are just going to be watching this division. So it's Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver, and Winnipeg. That division's a joke. And if Toronto doesn't win that division by a mile, then they're frauds. And I said it intentionally. I said the word fraud, you know, poke the hornet's nest with a stick a little bit. So those are the divisions. So, I've seen some people a little worried, you know, Buffalo added Taylor Hall, until they actually live up to the hype that always seems to surround them every year. I'm not as concerned. And, let's just go down this list real quick. You got Boston, who no longer has Zdeno Chara, who lost Torrey Krug, who they're another year older. They don't scare me like they used to. So I'll just say that about the Boston Bruins. Buffalo, yeah, they're going to have some upside. They got Eichel. They've got Olofsson. They've got Taylor Hall, you know. But until they prove to me that their D is ready and that they've got quality goaltending, not concerned about them. I think the Devils are going to be a dumpster fire for another season. Did you see PK Subban and Miles Wood get into a fight during their scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, Honestly, I didn't see it, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, that would be a guy I would love to fight if I was in the NHL and built like an NHLer. PK Subban, he's just too much.
Well, he broke up with Lindsay. They called the wedding off.
She's gross. Good for him. I mean, he's not good looking either. Whatever. They suck. I hope they get married. Whatever.
They broke up, Kenny. That's
well,
what I'm trying
I hope
to
it
you.
Works out and they have ugly babies. That's what I hope.
Oh.
What are you gonna do?
I think
their team
both, sucks. I think their child would be an athletic phenomenon.
Oh, probably.
They're both. Yeah. I mean, they're both like incredible athletes. So
yeah.
I'm not sure what you're talking about with the whole gross thing, but hey, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beer holder.
Yeah.
Then you got the Rangers. Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of terrible, you got the Rangers. Now, of any of these teams in the division that I really have no idea how it's gonna go, I think the Rangers are like the absolute like wild card of this division. They've got a ton of talent that is young and unproven. They've got phenomenal goaltending, and their defense is just eh. You know, Keandre Miller, he's coming in now. He'll probably be all right. They got Trouba, all that. But, you know, I think they're going to try to outscore the opposition every night. They're going to play wide open. And I think that stuff only works when you're eliminated from the playoffs. I don't think it holds up in a structured season. So I think they'll be better than they were last year, but I don't think they're making the playoffs. Flyers, you know, I think the Flyers are going to be tough. And I think, look, we beat them, and I thought we were the better team last year, and I still think we're the better team. But I think the Flyers, you know, we went 7 games with them, and I thought a couple of those games they got lucky to get the wins. I thought we outplayed them for a 7-game series. I thought it was pretty lopsided. And we took care of business in game 7 against them. So I think they'll be good. Carter Hart, you know, all their guys are another year older. They're going to have Lindblom and Nolan Patrick back fully for the full season. I think they're a lock for the playoffs this year for sure. Penguins, I'm not so sure about. Penguins are on the back end of their window, and I don't see them making the playoffs this year. I think it's going to be a rough year for Pittsburgh. And, you know, side note, they were an NHL team who took out a small business loan this year. They took out a PPP loan this year. That's pretty pathetic. So I hope they miss the playoffs just for that reason. Stay classy, Pittsburgh. And lastly, you've got the Caps. I think the Caps still have a couple of good seasons left in them. I think they've got a little bit more of a window than Pittsburgh, but I think that's closing quickly, and I think they've got some questions in goaltending. I know they've got Samsonov, and he's going to be, you know, he's obviously there in lieu of Braden Holtby now, but I think
that's – you can't say that's an even – it's not an even swap, right? I mean,
Holtby – he's got questions for sure, but I think the writing's been on the wall for a while, and I don't think Holtby, you know, besides, you know, no big deal, winning a cup, I think he's been on the decline for a couple of years, so I think they'll be a little bit better. But honestly, I look at that, and yeah, there's some good teams in that division, but at the end of the day, I know a lot of Islander fans are a little nervous about being in this division, Boston, Buffalo, all that stuff. You know what? We went to the Eastern Conference Finals, and we went toe-to-toe with the Stanley Cup champions, and we were this close to forcing a Game 7. So you know what? We're not locked in the East with those teams. Those teams are locked in the East with us. And I fully expect – this is the first year as an Islander fan that I'm coming in with swagger, and I'm saying first place is ours to lose.
I was thinking second place. It's going to be a toss-up. I mean, in a short season, it's hard to – like, if this was a full season, I feel like the Islanders are just better top to bottom with all the additions and subtractions that you went over with Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston. Like, Buffalo, they're a team that in an 82-game season, I would probably say will start off really hot, you know, all to November, and then they'll fall off their face. So it's dangerous because I feel like the Rangers are another team like that.
Yeah, I think Buffalo and the Rangers are pretty similar, right? Like,
now
I think
my problem is like
away with them.
Yeah, but now, okay, ready? Like 25 games into the season, you're in first place. Like you're like halfway done with the season. it's hard to be out of it. You can't even like dig yourself out of it if you tried. So now it's like really the whole first month of the season is everything. You know, it's sink or swim real quick because there's not enough time to make up for it. So I'm a little worried because we're lumped in with some teams that'll just be hot for no reason. I don't know. We're
healthy.
We've got
a full season with Pageau. We're healthy.
We've got Sorokin.
And when we're healthy, we dominate, man. We dominate. So
yeah,
I'm not worried, man. Like maybe I should be. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe Islander fans that are chewing their nails and you know shaking in their boots. I mean, maybe they're right, but I don't know, dude. Like we've been getting progressively better, and you know, you add a little bit of grit with Bellows, you add another year of maturity to Matt Barzell's game, to Anthony Beauvillier's game, to Ryan Pulick's game, to Adam Pellick's game. Dude, I don't know.
Dobson, you add.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean we got a solid squad. We don't have the flashy Lafreniers. We don't have the flashy Panarins or the Taylor Halls and Jack Eichels, but we've never had that, and we've been just fine.
And we did it without a third line, basically, which, you know, you touched on it, like losing Brassard. That guy was another – he's another guy who just – he sucked last year. Sorry. He just sucked. He just didn't do enough. He made a couple big plays in the playoffs, but he just overall just wasn't the guy that we needed. I think Bellows, if you're looking at player for player, I think you're going to get more out of Bellows this year than you got out of Brassard last year. Or yeah, from one of those guys.
I agree. I think both are going to be there. I think both are going to be there. Look, either one of two things are going to happen. Either Kiefer Bellows is not going to have a great start, or Michael Dal Col is not going to have a great start, and then you've got Wahlstrom waiting in the wings to take either of them. Or, you know, look, there's still – don't be surprised if you see some trades, like, at the beginning of the season. Lou is shopping Leo. He's shopping Hickey. He's trying to move these guys. I think Komarov's going to probably be on the taxi squad. Like there's going to be some maneuvering going on to start the season. So, you know, let's see what happens. But I think at some point you are going to see, look, Barry wouldn't have put Wahlstrom and Bellows together with Pageau if the thought didn't cross his mind, if he wasn't serious about it. There's not enough practice time that would be a waste of a line in a scrimmage. So I think that's a good sign that they're okay with having those three together at some point. But give Dal Col a shot with some talent and see what happens. Don't forget, Dal Col's got so much – he had so much potential, so much upside. I mean, he was the consensus number five overall pick, and I know he's not going to live up to that potential, but he's not necessarily – a bum either. I think this, I agree with you. This is definitely the last season, and I wouldn't even give him the whole season. I'd give him a month. And if he doesn't work out in a month, see you later. We got Ollie. He's part of our future. We got to play him instead.
Yeah. It's when you just look at them skate, carry the puck, like what they do, Wahlstrom to Dal Col, it's like even someone who doesn't know anything about hockey can see the difference. Yeah, and then you look at, like, the points, and it's like, okay, well, this guy's got way more upside. Dal Col is just, like, you watch him play, and it's like, he must wow the coaches, like, when they're going over, like, video and, like, really looking at positioning and, like, et cetera. He must be, like, doing everything XOs-wise that makes them keep him in the lineup because everything else is, like, so underwhelming.
I know, the way he skates and the way his body
he looks like he
doesn't know how to skate, right? It's weird.
He's like the guy who like doesn't get picked in gym class, but like would still be effective somewhat. But it's just like it's nothing special. It's not his shot, it's not his passing, it's not his stick handling, it's not his speed. It's like literally everything else he must be amazing at because he's in the lineup. I don't know. Whatever. Let's see. I mean, he's played, according to the 85 games. He's played 85 games in the NHL, 17 points. Okay. He hasn't really had much of a taste. Let's see. This is his full year to play with a legitimate third-line center. There are no excuses. It's not you played with, you know, some bum. You played with Brassard as your center. It's like, no. This is Pageau. Let's see.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping I'm wrong, you know. And like I said, I started off last year shitting on Letty, and the guy had an unbelievable year last year. Definitely our most improved player. He was very good. So if he can just be like exactly how he was, then our defense shouldn't take much of a step back losing Taves. You know, insert Dobson. He does his thing. We'll see.
I agree. So I think that's a good place to kind of start to put a bow on this. I want to just real quick kind of go over at least the beginning of the season. It's a little different form. Well, it's a big change in the format. But as far as the schedule goes, it looks like it's going to be a lot of not double headers, but, you know, back to backs against the same teams. I think, you know, again, the NHL is trying to limit travel. You know, the other thing, too, that we didn't even talk about was, you know, there's been a couple of teams that have completely missed practices because of COVID. I mean, you know, you get a team that if COVID runs through a locker room, dude, like you could be out for the season. Like, so this is going to be very much an asterisk filled season when it comes to records and standings and everything else. But if all plays out as it should, we start the season against the Red Pants. We've got two games against them Thursday and Saturday. And then we open up the season at home, quote unquote, because we're just playing an empty building, so does it really matter, against the Bruins, and then Jersey, two games against Jersey, two games against Washington, two games against Philly. So that's pretty much how every month is going to go. You know, you're going to kind of run through the division and just play, you know, multiple games against them. So where this is going to hurt is, you know, if you've got a superstar out because of COVID or COVID fears or whatever, you know, and you play a team that you're trying to catch and that's when you happen to play them on the back-to-back, it's just going to warp things a little bit. You know, the obviously strength of schedule is not really going to be evenly distributed along, you know, across the league. I would argue that we're probably in the toughest division, but it's hard to say exactly how that all is going to play out. So, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be weird, but it'll be something to do. It'll be something to talk about. And, at least there's hockey back. And Kenny, I'll leave you with this last question. Who do you think is going to be the helmet sponsor for the Isles? Is it going to be Northwell Health or UBS?
I'm saying Northwell.
Any dark horse, local Long Island sponsors you think that could come out of the woodwork, like Bob's Furniture maybe, or WBAB, or what do you
think? Hofstra,
whatever. The Islanders. That's it. Well, you know, this helmet is underwritten by Hofstra University.
Oh, God. Jeez. Yeah, our helmets have no padding in them because we just couldn't afford the budget. I don't know, dude. I'm hoping, I'm going with Hofstra Radio as my sponsor.
There you go.
That's the official answer.
I like it. No, not a sponsor. Underwritten by Hofstra University. It'll have that. Yeah, we'll be the first and only team to have our helmets underwritten by a university. So that's Islanders. You know, it's got to be UBS, right? I mean, it has to be. I mean, it could be Northwell
next year. I think definitely next year UBS, but they're not playing that arena. So
dude, I don't want to hear it. I'm tolerating this nonsense for one season. If they go back to full arenas next year and we still have these helmet ads, I'm not going to be happy. Have you seen how ugly they are? Like, the Penguins are sponsored by PPG Paints. They've got a giant light blue logo plastered on the side of their helmet. It's disgusting.
That is absurd.
It's bad. Like, at least match the colors of the team with the, like, I think the Capitals are sponsored by Capital One. And, like, it matches.
Makes sense.
It matches, right? Sense. Like, it's so okay. It's not bad. But, like, the PPG thing, ugh.
But didn't you see one last thing? Did you see Bettman's tweet or someone? Didn't he say something that the league's going to be losing, like, tons of money doing this? Is that?
Yeah, it would be cheaper for them to not play. It would be better for them to not play.
I'm surprised they're even playing.
Dude, it's bad, man. It's a bad
why are they playing, setup. If they're going to lose all this money, why are they playing?
Because if you disappear, you will lose mind share. And
true.
I think he's talking about it from like a, you know, are you in the black? Are you in the red? Like by the numbers. But he's but what you gain is the intangibles that you can't measure on a spreadsheet. It's how many kids are going to tune in because there's nothing else to do because you're stuck at home and all of a sudden you become an Islander fan or a Panther fan or whatever. You know, like that's the intangible stuff that, you know, I mean, it's dude.
Yeah,
it's,
the lockout hurts like that. Yeah, we you know how that goes. I mean, it, mm-hmm. it like literally. I don't know if it was a direct thing, but it kind of hurt Long Island roller hockey when the lockout happened. Remember how big like hockey was, and then the lockout, and then like it was never the same. I don't know if you were still around during that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was taking the ferry across to see Sean Bergenheim and Jeremy Colleton lead the Sound Tigers to an awful season.
Sean Bergenheim, that guy was. Definitely I was so he was such a beast, I but like, dude, couldn't do it. Like one he game he'd be so, unreal then he'd be gone man, for like 10
dude
like,
him and oh god what was it Robert Nilsson like I thought those kids were gonna be like studs like they looked so good in the AHL and then like it just never happened like Bergie was a brick like dude he was like a he was thick, and I remember seeing him like he was a kid at first, and then like all of a sudden, like the next season, I go to Bridgeport and I watch him play, and I'm like, that's a man now. Like, and I don't know, it just never really amounted to. Yeah,
he had a couple highlight reel goals in the NHL though.
He did.
He had like that between the legs thing he did like twice to a guy, like mm-hmm. in and out of him, and like scored some goal. Like it was pretty.
Yeah.
That was back in the day when we only had like one prospect and when it didn't work out, we were in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty.
I don't know.
Scary,
he played in Toronto in the playoffs, didn't he? Didn't he play for that team in 2002? Maybe not.
I don't think so. I think he was a couple years after that. I could be wrong.
Thank God it's not 2002 and it's 2021. And we're a day away from watching the Islanders beat the Rangers, so.
I'm excited. So, what do you think? You think we're gonna split the opening series with them, or you think we're gonna take them both?
Is Sorokin definitely not playing the first game?
Yeah, they said Varley's the starter.
I just don't believe in him, but I don't know, man. It's so hard to say. I say we split. Realistically, yeah. I can't be that confident. It's so hard to say. There's been no preseason. There's been no nothing. So
I was going on a run today, and sometimes I just have these like random weird thoughts while I'm running, probably because I'm sucking wind. I was like, Lafreniere better not get his first NHL goal against us. Like you know he's scoring in one of these first two games. Right, like you could just imagine.
I think it would be a statement.
You could just imagine Sam Rosen. Oh my God, Alexis Lafreniere! Ben, if you hear us in the bunker,
let's make no mistake. Ben was the guy with the horns on at the Capitol building. That was Ben. Ben got arrested.
I thought Ben was the guy stealing the podium.
That was Ben.
Listen, the last tweet I got from Ben was, I got Pelosi's socks, and then it went dark, and it's in contact I found.
We need to do a GoFundMe for finding Ben.
Where do you guys think Ben is? Write us. All right, that's it. It's time to go.
Absolutely.
Ken, it's been a pleasure, man. It's nice to be back.
Nice to be back.
And thank you all for listening. Listen, it's been a long time, so I don't have my outro polished. So I'm going to say, you know where to find us. All your favorite podcast places. Check us out on Facebook. Just Google Long Island Sound. Or Google. Jeez. Just search it on Facebook. You'll find it somewhere out there. We're on Twitter. Tweeting the tweets. So, we're ready. We're ready to have a full season. We'll be back reporting on the goings on, and hopefully we get a good roster update in the next day or two, so we can really kind of see how things are gonna shake out. But the games are back. I'm sure I'll have Gritty on my TV tomorrow as the Flyers take on the Penguins. Sorry.
Yeah. Stay classy, Philadelphia. Stay classy.
I met Gritty around Christmas time, but that's a story for another podcast. And that's how we're going to end it. For Ken, I'm Damon. Ben, wherever you are, we'll see you soon. Later, guys.